we're on to our fourth week of 31 Days of Kindness. How you doing? How'd this week go so far? Oh, you only got 2 days going so far. Well, okay. You got plenty of time to make up for. So if you haven't been with us over the past month, 24 days, we've gone on this journey of trying to be intentional about doing acts of kindness every day. We did, in November, we did 30 days of Thanksgiving, writing down, being intentionally thankful for what God has done for us. Now we just move it into the next month, into December. So 31 days of kindness. And people have shared with me a number of great things that they've done, kindness things. Like this, you're probably wondering about this picture up there. Somebody in our congregation was driving down the road on Salem Road, and there was a llama that was over in the ditch. Couldn't get up. They stopped, helped the llama get up, so that God could continue to bless that creature, right? That's a good thing. So, I want to encourage you. Continue to do that. I love to hear your stories. Come back to me, text, email, pigeon, whatever it takes to get them to me, right? Love to hear what God's doing in your life, how he's using you in people's lives as you extend kindness to everybody that's around you, or to at least one or two people a week. See that, remember this. We always gain when we're generous. You will always gain when you're generous. Now, I can't tell you how you're going to gain, but you will gain in the midst of that. Because we know this. Life teaches us this, but also the Bible teaches this. When we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. And when we sow bountifully, we will also reap. Y'all are a little quiet over here. It's up there on the screen for you. I'm trying to help you out now. Let's try it again. When we reap sparingly, we will reap. Okay, you guys are coming. You're getting okay. When we reap bountifully, we will reap. When we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. Thank you very much. This is the second time I've had to do this. It's like I've never done it before, right? It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And you've seen it in your life. You know that that is how things go. And we're grateful for that. So this is where we've been. 12-1, first of this year, this month. Thanksgiving leads to generosity. As we're thankful, it's a lot easier to be generous. And then we talked about living generously, and we looked at Elizabeth and Mary, who had miracle babies, but more than that, they were righteous, godly ladies who God placed his favor upon. Now we know this. They were just normal human beings, right? But the fact is, there was something about them that God said, I've got something very, very special for you. And then we talked about giving generously, and we talked about the wise men as they came. Now, yes, they probably, if you're given gold, okay, you probably maybe have a little bit to give. To bring a fruitcake, well, I don't know about that, okay? But the fact is, they gave up a lot to come on this journey that God led them on. They gave up their family for a time. They gave up their friends. They gave up their home to make that long journey and to find Jesus. They gave generously. Now, last week we talked about Zechariah and Joseph, these men. In the same way, there's just something very special about them, of men who are pursuing God, but they're just normal guys. But God had something special for them because of who they were. And one of the ways they were, I think we can see it, is they're serving. Obviously, Zechariah was a priest serving in the temple. But think about it. Think about, for him, he's an old, new father. First-time father, right? Hadn't had a baby. They hadn't had a child. And he's an old, new father. And here's Joseph, who's a young, new father, in a really crazy situation. Really crazy. I mean, it was God's design, but it was, well, only one time. I can say it's unusual. It was unique. Think about how they had to serve their wives during that time. It would have been something very special as they served Elizabeth and as they served Mary. And tonight we're going to talk about Jesus because, well, we lit the Jesus candle. So we need to talk about Jesus, right? But the fact is, he's the one who had the greatest gift for us. He was intentional in his generosity. And so I brought this truck. Somebody gave me this truck this week. Because, you know, I always like to say, when you give, you should give with a dump truck, right? Don't give with a teaspoon. With the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you, Jesus said, Luke 6:38. So when you give with the dump truck. What a beautiful thing. I have a few of these. They're out in front of my yard, but they're all rusted. But this one's not going to get rusted. But thank you. So give with a dump truck, my friends. Because that's how God has given to us. He's been very intentional about his generosity to us. And I was thinking about that. There's three ways that I've seen this. First is in creation. He has been incredibly generous to us. It says in the book, the first verse, in the beginning was the word. That's John 1. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, well, he did a pretty fine job. Now, some of you may be not from Colorado, and, you know, I'm sorry for that. But you can't beat this right here. 120 miles, I don't know how many miles it is, but it's probably 120 miles or so. Pikes Peak to the Spanish Peaks. To live where we live, we see his creation is incredible. And I remind you this. If God didn't get it right in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, if God didn't create the heavens and earth, it came some other way, then you don't need to believe any other verse in the Bible. If God couldn't get the verse, get it right, the first verse, the rest of the verses, they're corrupt too. God knew. God created the heavens and the earth. And we get to be a part of that. What a joy and what a delight to be a part of what he's done for us. It says that in John chapter 1. We'll look at John. But it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, it says. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Now, I got a feeling John, he kind of hung around Jesus for about 3.5 years because he was a disciple. They traveled together. They lived together. They were friends together, everything. But I got a feeling during those 3.5 years, he might have heard the story of creation more than once. Like, hey, boys, let me just tell you about creation. There was nothing there. And you know what? It was in our plan. We just said, boom, and it was there. It's amazing what God did in that. Well, that's one way that he's been intentional in his generosity to us. But a second way is this, is in his communication to us. It's right here. 66 books that tell us about his love for us. 66 books that tell us how to honor him. 66 books that tell us he knows what's best for us. And if we follow this, we're going to be blessed. We're going to have his favor. I hope that you've taken time today to read about his communication to you, his love letter to you. But there's a third way, and that's what we celebrate right now, obviously, and that's his coming to us. Creation, we see his generosity. In his communication to us, we see his generosity. And we definitely see his intentional generosity to us in his coming to us, Jesus Christ, and sending Jesus Christ to us and be a part of our lives. And John 1:14, you've heard it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He pitched his tent among us. He, as Eugene Peterson says in the Message, he moved into our neighborhood. He came into our world. And we saw him. John says, we saw him. The glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. So we kind of settle there for a moment. Why did he come to us? He's communicated his intentional generosity to us, but why did he come to us? This is what God brought to my mind over the past couple days. Thinking about this. What's the greatest act that you've ever been a part of? The greatest act of love or generosity you've ever been a part of. I think probably near the top of my list would be my mom giving birth to me. My mom was in the first service. She lives with us, and so she had a little bit of fun with this too. But I don't remember anything about it, but she does. And y'all that have given birth, You understand that. Maybe the second greatest act of love, or for me, or part of my life, up there at the top two, is my wife, Alicia, marrying me. November 26, 1982, 7 p.m. in the evening, Amarillo Bible Church, Amarillo, Texas. And she made a really good choice. I made an even better choice. She's incredible. And I'm thankful for that. And her birthing our two kids. Now, I do remember those events, okay? And I remember them very, 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 very well. But the greatest act of love and of generosity is Jesus Christ coming and giving his life for us. Didn't have to come. Came willingly. Because he knew that we needed him. He loves us. And he loves you. I've said this to you a number of times through my many years here. If Jesus didn't need to come and die on the cross for us, he is the biggest jokester and fraud there ever was. Right? I mean, if he didn't need to do that, and he said that, you know, this is why I came, he was just playing with us. If it really didn't matter, he was being cruel to us. But it did matter. And it is the truth. And he came for us. Probably the best known, well-known Bible verse, you guys already said it, but let's say it again from John 3:16. Say it with me if you would. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His incredible generosity to us, God's love for us, Jesus' love for us to come and to be a part of our world. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 kind of states the same thing, just a little bit different words. It says, but God shows his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Or another version said, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't make us clean up. He just said, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to come as a humble baby. And I'm going to come as the Savior in the midst of that. He is the Savior as he came, but he showed himself as the Savior in his death, burial, and resurrection for us. That's the greatest act of kindness and love that has ever taken place. Would you agree with me? I know you would. It may be hard to believe that he loves you, no matter where you're at right now, no matter what you're thinking, that he loves you. I love the Cain song. The Cains are a brother, two-sister trio that sings Christian contemporary music, and I've shared this here. They say this, Jesus saying, I could never love you any more than I do right now. Think about that. Wherever you're at, whatever's going on in your world, he could never love you any more than he does right now. So believe it and receive it, my friend. Well, that's one of the reasons why he came. A second reason that the Lord brought to me just as I was working on this over the past couple days was because we need him. Not only does he love us, we need him. We need to be rescued. As the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says this, because we're dead in our sins and our trespasses without him. Romans 3:23, Paul also, he describes it a different way. He says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. The arrow's missed the bullseye. We've missed the mark of being able to be with him and to see his work in our lives. Because we have sin, and that sin is separated from him. We need a rescuer to rescue us out of our sin. And when I was about 10 years old, my dad woke me up early one morning in our camper, and we were going to go fishing at the Roaring Fork River near Glenwood Springs. We stopped at a little cafe on the way there and had a bite to eat. And I remember getting in the car afterwards, and some of the talk there between some of the men that were at other tables was a little bit coarse. And he said, you know, that's not the way to be a man, to talk like that. Well, we drove on down the road after a little conversation there, and we crossed a bridge, and we saw the river there, and there was this big rock, and it was extending out into the river. And there was a really nice pool right there. And so my dad said, you know, that'd be a great place to fish. The problem was to get to that rock was a bunch of logs and sticks that were piled across, you know, maybe about 10 yards worth of them, that you had to go from the shore to get to that rock. And it wasn't like a bridge. You know, it was just logs piled there. You had to be a little bit careful to walk across there. But we got across there. I'm standing on that rock. I'm sure, you know, I'm lure fishing. And I'm sure I'm using a goldfish lure because that was my favorite kind. And the water's just right there. I mean, it's just going by and there's this big pool. The next thing I know, I'm floating down the river. I'd stepped right off that rock somehow. My dad saw my hat floating down the river before he saw me. And then he saw me floating down the river. My dad ran across those logs, as unstable as they were. He threw off his big gray sweater that he had on, and he dove into that water, and he swam out, not very far, maybe 5-6 yards. Wasn't a huge river. And he got a hold of my hand and got a hold of me and somehow swam across the river to the other side of the shore, to the shore that was there. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. How my dad got across those logs, how he, you know, was able to head me off, how he's able to grab me, and then to be able to swim with me to the other side of the river. My dad later said when he got a hold of my hand, it was like touching the hand of God. It was just that distinct and that precious. I needed to be rescued, and I'm thankful that he did. Therefore, I can be here today. But I needed a rescue, and you know what? Spiritually, there's a greater rescue that needs to take place. And that's why Jesus has come, to rescue us out of our sin, out of our sins and our trespasses that we're dead in, and to give us his life that's before us. You see, when Jesus came, he was on a rescue mission to save us from spiritual drowning because of our sins. He willingly threw off his heavenly garments, like my dad threw off his sweater. He willingly walked across those logs. Jesus came from heaven to earth. And he willingly jumped into the river of earthly life so he could be our rescuer for us. John 3:16 describes what Jesus has done and his love toward us. But John 3:17 tells us a little bit more about that rescue that took place. He says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." To be rescued from our sin so that we could have a relationship with him. Maybe we could state it this way. In order that the world might be spiritually rescued from sin through him. That's what he came to do. And as we think about the Christmas event, we remember that the angel told Joseph, this is what you are to call him. You are to name him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. He will rescue them from their sins. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? His name communicates what he has come to do if we just reach out to him. If we just reach out to him. Well, the third reason, there's a number of reasons, but these are the ones that the Lord gave me this week. The third reason is this, because he wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you so much that he went on this rescue mission to rescue you from sin so he can have a relationship with you right now. Right now. His desire for that relationship is embedded in what the prophet said that they were to call him. For the virgin will conceive a son, and she'll conceive and will bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Again, his rescue is communicated in his name, Jesus. He'll save his people from sins. But it's also communicated in, they will call him Emmanuel, for he will be with us. He is God with us if we choose. And that's right now. It can be right now for you. And I hope that it is. But my guess is that there might be some of you that you don't have that relationship right now. But he is Emmanuel, and he says he wants to be with you in that. We looked at John 3:16, we looked at John 3:17, but John 3:15 communicates about this rescue mission, communicates about his love, communicates this when he says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. He was talking about his crucifixion, his death. The Son of Man must be lifted up, and he, so that anyone who believes in him may have eternal life. You see, not only does God want to be with us right now, he wants to be with us in the future, forever. He will be here as if he comes as our Savior. He'll be with us right now, but he also wants to be with us forever. You see, my dad showed up that day in the rescue, and he rescued me from those waters. If I hadn't reached out for my dad's hand, I'd have been a goner. But even better than that is that my dad reached out his hand as the rescuer to me, because I couldn't be rescued without him. Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up that day for me too. It was an impossible situation. But Jesus showed up and made it possible for my dad to rescue me. But Jesus also showed up here on the earth as a baby so that he could rescue us from our sins. Why? Because he wants to be with us. Right now, he wants to be with you, but forever, he wants to also be with you. He's Jesus, and he wants to be your Emmanuel. He wants to be your Savior, and he wants to be the one who helps you, guides you, strengthens you, encourages you, helps you to follow him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus is reaching out his hand to you tonight as the rescuer. Will you grab it? Take his hand. Reach out and grab it. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment? Tried to present the gospel to you, the good news to you, clearly. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. You know about him. You know the Christmas story. But you never grabbed his hand. I want to encourage you to do that tonight. Here's how you can do it. We put it as simply as the ABCs. Admit to God you're a sinner. You are. We all are. We've all hurt him in our deeds, in our talk. He knows that. Secondly, the B stands for believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross and rose again on the third day. You may not understand all that, but it's recorded right here four times. Historically, there's more information about Jesus than many other figures in history. Oh, Father, help us to understand what you've done. That was your rescue mission, to come as a humble babe, to be sinless, because only a sinless person could die for us. And then you rose again on the third day. And then, but to understand all that and then to put it into practice and to make it yours, you confess your faith in him, commit yourself to him, say yes to him. He's standing at the door of your heart, knocking, and he wants you to grab his hand and say yes to him. Now maybe you might just say a prayer like this just in your heart. Dear Jesus, I know that you love me. It's obvious, and you're sending Jesus Christ to the earth. Father, I know that I've sinned. My sin separates me from you. But I also believe that Jesus Christ came, was the Son of God, and that he gave his life on the cross, and he rose again on the third day, victorious over sin and death and the grave. Now, Lord, I want you. I'm reaching out my arms to you. I'm saying yes to you. I want you to be my Savior. You could only be the Savior if you were Emmanuel, because you had to come to earth. Thank you for doing that for me. I say yes to you. I choose you. And in doing that, you said you'll forgive my sin. You'll open the door to a relationship with the Father. Right now, I make that decision. With your heads bowed and eyes closed again, I'm just going to ask you, if you made that decision for the first time tonight, would you just be bold enough to raise your hand right now, and I'll see if I can see it. It's a little bit hard out there, but just raise it up and maybe turn your little light on. That helped me to know that you've made this decision tonight. I see one. Trust that that's true. See another. Praise God. See another. Praise God. Another. Thank you, Lord. And he's saying yes. The angels are throwing a party right now. The angels are throwing a party. Because Jesus said that. When a sinner comes to know him, they party. They are rejoicing in heaven. Would you let me know that you made that decision? You can use the card. I'd love to be able to rejoice with you too. Maybe be able to follow up with you, give you some information about following Jesus now that you're a child of God. Where John said that those that believe in him, that received him, that believed in his name, will become children of God. Praise God. But there are ones tonight. I said yes to you. Rejoice in that. Now, if you know Jesus, man, would you just keep praying this prayer that Paul gave us, 2 Corinthians chapter 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his greatest gift. He's speaking of Jesus. Nothing greater than that. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. For sending Jesus Christ to be the rescue, the rescuer, on a rescue mission to save, to seek and to save those who are lost, to pay the ransom price for our sin. Thank you. And thank you that we can believe and have a relationship with you. Be with those that have said yes tonight. What a joy it is. Thank you, Father.